Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One evening, a lady in New York had gone to a real fancy fundraising dinner. She got to the dinner and she found it was assigned seating. And she found to one side was a prominent rabbi from New York. And on the other side of her was a prominent Catholic priest. And she sat in her chair, looked to her right and looked to her left at the two people sitting outside of her. And she said to the two gentlemen, "Man, I don't know how I got this special seat between the Jewish rabbi and father here." She said, "You know what I feel like here? So special. I feel like I'm the page between the Old Testament and the New Testament." To which one of those gentlemen said to her, "Ma'am, that page is usually blank." Humility. Tonight we heard in Matthew chapter 18, the disciples came to Jesus and he said, "Lord, who's the greatest? Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" I don't think they were asking just a hypothetical question. They were really wondering, actually they were arguing, which of them would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It wasn't long before this argument that when Jesus was transfigured and some special people got a glimpse of Jesus in his glory, it was Peter, James, and John who were there. It wasn't long before this when Jesus went and raised someone from the dead. Only Peter, James, and John were able to witness that special miracle. I would imagine that as those disciples had that argument about which of them would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, they pretty much had assumed that Jesus would say, "Well, guys, it's either going to be Peter, or it's going to be James, or it's going to be John." How surprised and shocked those disciples must have been when Jesus took a little child and set the little child between them, and he said, "Truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." You know, when Jesus said that, he was saying that was just He was saying something that would be considered upside down or inside out or backwards compared to the cultural thoughts of the time. A child in Jewish society back in the first century had no importance. A child in first century Jewish society was subject to the authority of the elders. A child was not to be taken seriously except as a responsibility. A child was someone to be just looked after and not to be looked up to. And Jesus says, if you want to even enter the kingdom of heaven, you have to change, and become like one of these. What does that mean? You know what, in one way, it kind of sounds like something Jesus said to a man named Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Nicodemus came to Jesus one night, had a late night theological conversation with Jesus. And Jesus said to Nicodemus during that conversation, "Unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." In Matthew chapter 18, though, Jesus says, "Unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." What does this mean? Jesus is calling us to give up on ourselves, to give up on our own abilities. Stop relying on yourselves. Trust like a child. Give up pride. Take on humility. Realize that you cannot save yourself. You need someone to do it for you. Trust in God. Trust in Jesus as the only one who can save you. When we have that kind of humility like a child, then Jesus says to us in Matthew chapter 18, verse 4, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. How are we at being humble, though? Kind of hard, isn't it? But we can see that God does not admire pride. One way we can see it is a practical way. Do you ever notice how the way God so wondrously created our bodies? He made it pretty difficult for us to reach over and pat ourselves on the back. Keep that in mind as we think about pride and also God's call, Jesus' call for us to be humble. What else does it mean when Jesus tells us to become like one of these little children? Of course, we cannot save ourselves. We need God to rescue us. We need our Father to save us, which He did by sending Jesus. A child needs someone to watch over them, to keep them safe, to protect them. So God also watches over each and every one of us. When we look at this example of childlike humility, we can also be reminded of Jesus. You know, when Jesus says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 4 of our text this evening, He said, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. A very similar phrase is spoken of, written by Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, where Paul, speaking of Jesus, described Jesus' humility, saying, and being found in human form, Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. When we're looking for a model of humility, we need look no further than Jesus. Jesus, the one who said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. A wonderful, beautiful, perfect model of humility for us. You know, we live in a world where little one, it's not really cool to be considered a little one. But we look at what Jesus said tonight in Matthew chapter 18. In God's way of looking at things, little ones is important. If you were to take a look at the gospel lesson this evening, we find first of all in Matthew 18 verse 5, Jesus says, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But then let's go on from there. Look at how often we see the expression little ones. In verse 6, Jesus says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it will be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned into the sea. Again, God speaking up for the little one. Or how about in verse 10, a couple verses later? Jesus says, see that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. And then in verse 14, we see Jesus commending little ones again. He says, So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. We live in a world that values great ones and greatness, don't we? But God values little ones. We take a look at ourselves. We see that too often we have been a people who are prideful. We have not been the humble ones that Jesus calls us to be. We are too often a people who have found ways to pat ourselves on the back. Yes, we are convicted. We are found guilty. But you know, just as I mentioned how God has made it difficult for us to reach over and pat ourselves on the back, you ever notice too the way our bodies are so wonderfully designed? It's also hard for us to kick ourselves too. It is. You know, so often we are hard on ourselves. When we see what we've done wrong, the ways we've messed up, we think there's no hope. We feel hopeless. But God sees things differently. He sees a people that he can love, that he can forgive, that he can use, no matter how badly they have messed up. You know, St. Paul has written 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament. Some would consider him to be one of the greatest missionaries of all time. But yet, when he writes a letter of encouragement to his young co-worker by the name of Timothy, he mentions to Timothy that Paul considers himself to be one of the worst sinners of all time. But even though Paul considered himself to be one of the worst sinners, the chief of sinners, look how God used him. Those times when we consider ourselves to be one of the worst sinners, know that God can use you. Know that God has a plan for you. He can use you because he sent Jesus for you. Because Jesus went to the cross and he humbly gave up his own life, his perfect life, for our sinful lives. And God calls us in our humility. He sends us out, us little ones, to do big things for him. In Jesus' name, amen. Please join me in a word of prayer. Gracious God, as little ones, we come before you. Lord, we know that we cannot save ourselves. We cannot rescue ourselves. Forgive us for our pride, our arrogance, the times that we have considered ourselves better than others. Forgive us for the times that we have considered some things beneath us. As we have received your forgiveness, Lord, help us to see the path ahead with all of its opportunities to speak for you, to live for you, to love for you. In Jesus' holy name, we humbly pray. Amen. Now may the peace of God that